Lord, again, you have gathered us here to this place, and we don't believe it's just by chance. And so we give you thanks. And as we continue in this season of Advent, anticipating the birth of your Son, we ask that you might help us to know the joy that you promise. Lord, we confess to you that so often we chase after happiness, which is this thing that is so fleeting. It's this moving target that we can seldom really hold on to. Help us to know your joy. Help us to know this joy that is deep and it's transformative. It changes our attitudes and our perspective, even in the midst of the struggle or perhaps even the chaos that we feel surrounds us. Lord, help us to know your joy so that we might be your joy and shine the light of your joy in the darkness all around. Help us to be reminded of the many things for which you have given us and give us cause for joy. Lord, in the midst of this Christmas season, help us not to lose the chance to laugh at ourselves and each other. That we wouldn't be overwhelmed with the stress and the craziness of this season, but that we might also find time to laugh. Lord, we pray for those this morning who, even in our midst, are experiencing some sort of loss. And so we pray also that you would be our hope and our peace. And for all of these things, and even the things that we hold in silence in our hearts, we're thankful that you hear our requests. We give you thanks for that. We give you thanks for the gift of your Son and the gift of prayer that he's given us that we can share together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we continue in a time of worship and the choir is going to begin to make their way up here to lead us in that, I want to invite Ron Frieden, who is the chair of our finance team, to come up, and he wants to just give you a little update, announcement on some of our stewardship stuff. He's on mic number 4, Rusty.
It's my pleasure to bring you up to date on where we are with our financial campaign this year. A year ago, we had an operating budget for this year of $258,000, and that's when we were first 6 months with the Castleton location. And effective July 1, we broke out as our separate congregation. Right now, the finance committee and the leadership team adopted a budget for this coming year of $281,000. And that was based on analyzing the giving levels and things like that. At the present time, we are at approximately $283,000 in pledges. There may be a few of you that should look back and take a look at this card. There's some back there on the table yet, because there's a few of you that pledged last year that we have not heard from yet. And if we hear from you, I think that our final results will be somewhere in the neighborhood of $295,000 to $300,000. That is a strong statement for our services to God. With that, I thank you.
Thanks, Allie, Jan, choir. Thanks, band. Appreciate it. Thanks to all of you who just are continuing to try to follow Jesus and the way in which that impacts things like your checkbook. And thanks to Ron for sharing a great testament to you as a congregation and to us as a church as we continue to try to figure out what it means to follow Christ and how it impacts even things like our money. So excited to see what God's going to do in 2016 with us and as a church. So I'm going to pray. We'll jump in. Heavenly Father, thanks again for clearly you have been meeting us here in this place, and we ask that you would just continue to help us to be open to your presence. And so we pray that even if just for a moment, you might help us to remove or set aside the distractions from the past week or the week ahead, and so that we would be open to hear your voice. Open our hearts and our minds to those things that you would have for us. May your spirit be our filter, that everything else we can kind of just forget about or set off to the side. And Lord, I pray that your word would be fresh and new to us this morning, and that the words that I speak would not be my own, but yours. Amen. We're in the midst of a sermon series entitled Unpresence. And the first week we talked about, we were over the last 2 weeks and into this morning and then concluding next week, the last Sunday of Advent. We've been talking about presents that are unexpected, unwanted, unopened. I added one this morning, unused as well. But unexpected, unwanted, unopened. And next week we're going to be talking about unbelievable. And I asked each morning, I've asked you a question about some maybe perhaps gift or present that you have received. If you remember a couple weeks ago, I asked you if you've ever received a gift that was entirely, totally, completely unexpected. We kind of talked about that a little bit. And how that was the gift of Jesus. Totally expected in some ways. And there was a whole lot about Jesus that was really unexpected. A baby born in the manger, that doesn't, a king that was born in poverty, that doesn't, that's unexpected, doesn't make sense. Then the next week I asked you if you had ever received a gift that was entirely unwanted, to the point where you said, I would have rather received nothing than this gift. And spent some time talking about how sometimes one of the greatest struggles for people having any desire or want to be in relationship with Christ is the life of those of us who claim to be in relationship with Christ. John Wesley talked about the grand stumbling block to the spread of Christianity was the life of Christians. And how there are times when we, the way in which we kind of live out that relationship, people see that and go, I'm good, I'm not really interested in that. And we can probably think of times in our own lives where we've done something or said something that maybe wouldn't cause somebody to really be excited about this gift, this present of Christ or Christianity or what it looks like to follow him. And we talked about, one of the other things that we talked about was the idea that you've probably, one of the, I would guess, some of the best gifts you've ever given or received have been gifts that you have found a loved one or a friend found to be really meaningful and useful, and out of that experience said, oh my gosh, you've got to have, we kind of used the, talked a little bit about like the blender, you know, you got to have this blender. It will change your life. You know, you're kind of like, it's a blender, right? Calm down. But you, their experience, this, you know, this experience that they had with this blender, it's, you're like, gosh, you've compelled me to give this blender a try. Like, and then you find out, sure enough, it makes smoothies that changes your life. And how oftentimes that Christianity, a relationship with God, can seem unwanted because we ourselves as Christians we're just sort of like, eh, I'm not really excited about following Jesus. And then we're surprised that we don't get why other people who don't know him yet are not excited about jumping on the bandwagon with us. We're like, what do you mean? You don't want to come to church with me? It's super fun. I'm good. I'm going to sleep in and then go on with my day. So we talked about how one of the things that we need to do, that you and I need to be doing, is inviting people to church. I mean, if we want people to feel, recognize that there's this thing that maybe they don't even know they want yet. I didn't even know I wanted this blender, and then I got this blender, and whoa, I can't imagine life without it. There are individuals and friends that you know and have, relationships that you are in right now, that they don't even know yet that they want Jesus, and you could be the way in which you go, you need to, church? What? Church? No way. No. So we made these little things. I guess you could call them imitation, right? They're not terrible, I don't think. They're in your programs. And it's just got some information. I'm like, I don't know if this is just something that you slap up on your fridge and it's like, it's maybe it's a reminder of, you know, like I should invite someone to church. What better season than Christmas to invite somebody to church? Now, granted, I was hoping to wear shorts this morning and my wife wouldn't let me out the door. So I did, though, slip out with flip-flops on, so she didn't know that. And I think right now she's maybe with, oh, she's back there. Dang it. I thought she was maybe back with our youngest crying, but okay. Oops. So these cards, I don't know, use them. I don't, maybe they can somehow be a resource or just a reminder. But don't do this. Please don't. I spent some time writing these things on here, and I personally put a personal invitation. Don't just take this thing and I think it's not ideal to just take this thing and post it up on the bulletin board at work. Like, that's not a personal invitation. You could perhaps take this thing and go, I would like to personally invite you to come to church with me, which means that you will come to church with them, that you will stand by the back door or the front door. You will stand by the door and you will meet them here when they walk in the door. And then you will sit together and you will experience worship together. That's the personal invitation part of it. So if this is just a reminder or if it's a resource or a tool that you use, you know, whatever. But it's there because we have to help people see that this is actually a gift that you want. Not just want, but you need Jesus. You don't even know it yet. You don't even know that you want or need Jesus or church, but you do. And I'm going to show you that it's not totally horrible, right? So we talked about that this morning. The question that I have for you is, if you have ever received a gift and left it unopened. Let me think. If you've ever received a gift and have left it unopened. Another way to probably ask the question is, or think about it, is re-gifting, right? I mean, in a way, it's like, oh, this will be great for something, for someone else at some day. And so you maybe leave it. But have you ever received a gift and left it unopened? Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. You'll see the words on the screen. I'm going to read from the NIV this morning. Luke chapter 2. I'm going to start at verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and check this thing out," my paraphrase, "which the Lord has told us about," verse 16. And so they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Verse 20. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Now, what's interesting when you look at this passage, the messenger comes to the shepherds and he says, "I'm bringing you the gospel." Good news, right? Translates gospel. I'm bringing you the gospel, the good news that is going to cause great joy for all the people, for all people. And so the shepherds kind of go, "Huh, this sounds interesting," after they got done freaking out. The messenger says, "I have this thing that's going to cause great joy." And on this Sunday of Advent, when we talk about joy, we have to be reminded that joy is different than happiness. Happiness is sort of this emotional reaction to this thing that happens and whatever it might be. And it's good. Happiness is good. That's not a bad thing to be happy. When we talk about Christians living lives that might be help people see that following Christ can be a good thing, it's more attractive to be happy and joyful than to be like a jerk. So happiness can be a good thing, but it's also a fleeting thing. It is based upon these sort of outside circumstances that are happening. Joy becomes this sort of deeper inward attitude and perspective, so that in the midst of the chaos that's surrounding my life, I can still find and know joy. This is what the promise of the Christ child brings, this deep abiding joy. So that even in right now, as some of you are sitting here and your worlds are crumbling around you, even in that, somehow, Christ promises to be our joy. Not always happy, but I can always be joyful as an attitude and a perspective as I follow Christ. So they say, he says, I'm going to give you the gift of the gospel, this good news that's going to cause this great joy for all the people, the Messiah, the anointed one, the one who's going to bring salvation is here. And so it's interesting to me then that the shepherds actually said, okay, well then let's go and check out this gift. Let's go and open this gift. And so they head to the manger scene and they roll up on Mary and Joseph and they're like, oh my gosh, it's like they said, and there's a baby. And they open, they experience this gift of the one who is Jesus, the one who is hope and peace and joy and love. Now, I think it's also interesting, and this is where I added the other part of it, is that then they decided to put the gift to use. Luke tells us that then they had this experience, they encountered Jesus, they opened the gift that was the Christ child, and then they put it to use because they went back and they told everybody about it. Oh my gosh, you can't believe this crazy thing and how this played out. It actually was like the angels, the sky, and angels, and we went, and there was a baby, and whoa. And people were glorifying and praising God. They opened the gift, and then they put the gift to use. Now, it's important, I think, that we recognize right away is that the gift has been given to all. That the gift of Christ is a gift that God has and is continuing to extend to all of humanity. A couple verses if you're taking notes. I won't make you turn there, but if you're taking notes, 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verses 3 through 6. This is good and pleases God, our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus. The gift, the gospel, the good news, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. The gift God is extending to all people. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all. The gift of Christmas in and through Christ is for all people. So I'm wondering this morning, back to the question, how many of you have left the gift unopened? The story of Christmas is the greatest gift, which in this one gift is hope and peace and joy and forgiveness and mercy and grace. And inside of all of that wrapped into this one gift, the story of Christmas is the gift of Christ. And how many of you, I wonder this morning, have left that gift unopened? It's been a gift that has been extended to you because it has been extended to all. And I wonder if you've left it unopened. I have had the opportunity to be at two funerals in as many weeks. And each of those two funerals, the song Amazing Grace found its way into the service. A song that probably many of you are familiar with. Probably so that you could even begin to sing it right now, and maybe you are in your head. And there's a word in there right at the beginning, Amazing Grace, how sweet a sound, that saved a wretch. What a great word, because you and I are just wretched. And the gift has been extended to you and to me, even in our wretchedness. And I wonder this morning, how many of you have left that gift unopened? It's been given to you, and some of you have kind of left it there. You've heard about it. You've kind of, You know, some people live into opening the gift of Christ. It just happened. Like they're just kind of going along life, and maybe they're getting plugged into church and they're doing some stuff. And the next thing they know, they're kind of like, I think I'm a Christian. Like I don't really know when or even how that happened. Like maybe somehow, but like I don't even really know when it happened. I'm a Christian. Others need this kind of concrete time and place to say, yeah, that was the place and that was the time when I opened the gift. I don't really know when I opened the gift. Like the gift kind of just kind of opened as I went on this journey, and now I'm, whoa. Others of us need this sort of concrete moment of said, yes, this is the time and this was the place when I opened the gift. And I'm going to give you the chance to do that this morning. I don't know that there's anyone here that would even say, you know, I've heard about the gift. I've never actually opened the gift. And it seems to me, this is not something that I usually do in this setting, but it seems to me to do a disservice to you, and even more importantly to the gospel, the gift that is the good news, to talk about the gift that isn't open and then not give you the opportunity to open the gift. And as we celebrate communion, you're going to have a chance. There's a little kneeler right over here, and I would love to pray with you. We'll have communion people up doing their thing. They'll be in their seats praying or whatever. And I'm going to be just right over here. And if you come up and go, I need to open the gift. I've never opened the gift of Christ in my life. What better time than Christmas to say, all right, Jesus, let's give this a shot. Because some of you kind of, you're like, yeah, I'm a Christian. I don't know. I don't even know when, and it's there. Others of you want and need that moment to say, I need a time and a place, and I'm going to give you a time and a place this morning during communion to perhaps open the gift for the first time of Jesus. Now, there's others of you, we talked about, the gifts of last week we talked about the unwanted presence and talked about why some of those reasons are. Some of you have left the gift unused. You've opened the gift, but you've left it unused. Maybe you've left it in the box. It's like you've got your bowl and your spoon and maybe a pair of scissors, and you're like, I can blend up all this stuff myself. You've been given the gift of the blender, and you left it in the box, and you're like, no, I can do this. I got this. I'm good. Like, I'll just cut this up, and it'll be good, and it's fine. And Jesus is saying, I'm the blender. That's kind of what I do. When you set down the bowl and the spoon and the scissors and your way in which you're going to try to blend up this stuff, and this is what I do. This is the gift that I'm bringing to you. And you maybe have opened, sure, you may have opened the gift and been like, yes, I am the proud owner of a blender. I can't tell you how to use it. I don't know the features that come with this particular blender, but yeah, I've opened the gift. But I've never really put it to use in my life. And again, it seems like this morning, as we prepare to celebrate communion, that maybe some of you need a time and a place to say, it's time for me to put the use, to put the gift of Christ to use in my life. To actually, because what it is, what it means to follow Christ, it's a lot about surrender, and it's a scary thing for us, right? But Christ promises that when we surrender our hopes, our dreams, our fears, our will, that then he says, when you lay all of that stuff down, C.S. Lewis talks about it as a laying down of our arms. We're not going to fight anymore. We're laying down our arms. We're surrendering to Christ. And he says that when you do that, when you take the gift of Christ and you begin to use it in your life, it is then that you find life. It's when you lay down everything that Christ says, then in me and through me, you gain everything. That's when you can gain. I always look at the candles because it's a great symbol and reminder of the hope and the peace and the love and the joy that is the gift of Christ. And so many of us fail to use those things. We're not putting the gift of Christ to use in our lives. And so then we find ourselves coming to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And we're like, what the heck, God? Nothing's changing. I still fight the same battles. I still feel the same bitterness. I still feel lost in the same cycle of fear, shame, and guilt. And I just can't break. Like, what's the deal, God? I became a Christian. Ugh. And there's a point when we have to take the gift and we have to not just open it, but we have to put it to use in our lives. And then what's crazy about following Christ is that you find that when you begin to insert him into your life and allow him to kind of direct those things, that then he kind of uses you. So you take the gift and you use it, and then next thing you know, that Christ starts using you in whatever ways and oftentimes in ways that you would have never even imagined. Some of you this morning may need a time and a place to start putting the gift of Christ to use in your life. And it's going to be, you're going to have that invitation to do that during communion. And I would love to pray with you over here. And if that means we need to, like, I don't know. There may be nobody. There may be all of you. And we will all just hang out up here and we'll just all pray together. There's no way that I could talk about this gift that's so often we leave unopened or unused and not say, okay, today could very well be the time and the place that I need to open this gift. For the very first time, some of us are at a point where we're like, I just need to use the gift. Yeah, sure, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I own the blender. I don't know what to do with it or how to use it. I've never taken it out of the box. Yeah, sure, I call myself a Christian. I've never actually used the gift of Christ. I've never actually allowed him to kind of lead and direct my life. Maybe that's this morning. And so as we prepare to celebrate communion, it seems appropriate that I would invite you just to be in a time of prayer, reflection, meditation. We've been really intentional about having communion and celebrating the sacrament of communion each Sunday through Advent as this beautiful reminder this morning of the gift that's been given and of the gift that we journey towards on Christmas and through Advent, that we anticipate, that we expect that God's going to show up. That when you unopen the gift of Christ, you can expect that God's going to show up. And so I would invite you to be in that attitude of reflection and prayer, and I'll kind of explain kind of what we'll do from there. So I invite you to just be in a time of reflection and prayer as we prepare to celebrate communion. Lord, we come before you and we give you thanks that by your grace you have opened an invitation for us to this table. And we give you thanks for this bread and for this cup, and we ask that they might become for us a means of your grace so that we might be your bread broken for the world and this cup poured out for those who perhaps don't know you. Lord, help us to know the joy that can be ours when we find ourselves in the presence of your grace and your love, your hope, your peace, and your joy. Lord, this morning we pray for those individuals who maybe find themselves having never really opened the gift that you've given of yourself through your Son. And for those of us, Lord, who have experienced opening the gift and yet we confess that we've failed to do anything with it. Lord, in each of those, we give you thanks that your grace is sufficient. We give you thanks that we're reminded that by this meal, you were willing to give yourself for all. And so we come with hearts that are grateful and full of joy as we're reminded of the night when you took the bread and you were there with your disciples. You gave thanks, you broke it, and you said, "This is my body which has been broken for you. Take and eat, remember, and be joyful." And you took the cup after the meal, and again you gave thanks, and you said, "This cup is the cup of my blood. It's a new covenant that washes away your sins. Take and drink and remember the joy of being made new." This morning you're going to receive communion by intinction, which means you'll be invited to the front. You'll rip a piece of the bread off, dip it in the cup. This is an open table of communion, which means that you don't have to be a member here at Gateway. You don't have to be a United Methodist. You simply have to be open to the fact that it is by God's grace that any of us can come to this table, and that this table is open for all people, as Christ and God desires for all to know him. And if this morning you would say, "You know what, I've never actually opened the gift of Christ, and I think this is the time and the place when I want to do that." And I would love to be, I'm just going to be hanging out over there. I'd love to pray with you and to celebrate with you. And, I mean, know that I'm also going to look to talk to you after, right? Or like this week, we're going to follow up and we'll maybe go hang out. If you would say, "You know what, I've opened the gift and it's fine, I call myself a Christian, but I've never actually put the gift to use, and I need this time and this place to say, you know what, here we go, it's Christmas, and that's now I'm going to put this thing to use," and then I want to pray with you. And so, and maybe you're going, maybe you're neither one of those. And I would invite you just to be in an attitude of joy, of thankfulness as we celebrate the sacrament this morning.